left off in the previous year in Mikias, on the very top of Gimel Beis. So the Gemara was questioning the necessity both for Bifanai Nechtav and Bifanai Nechtav. In the worldview of Rabba, that the requirement for Bifanai Nechtav and Bifanai Nechtav is linked to the halach of Lishma, because of the concern of Lishma. So the Mishnah is clearly telling us that both the writing get and the signing get have to be done Lishma. And we're not quite sure who is the author of that statement, because we know that it is Machlokes HaTanaim between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. But the Torah speaks about the halachas that govern a get. Is the Torah speaking about the chesimus I get, the writing of the text of the get? Or is the Torah focusing on the chesimus, on the signatures? So according to Rabbi Meir, who says, so that's the mainstay of the get, of the signatures. And there's no need to write the get, Lishma. Halach is to sign the get, Lishma. Vice versa, according to Rabbi Elazar, he says that according to Rabbi Elazar, you don't even need Eidim on the bottom of the get. And the Torah for sure not. And therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar, the Iker part of the get is the writing of the get. So then that should be the Shema. And there's no need for the Chasima. So when all the dust settles, the Tana, the Mishnah, there's nobody. Neither Rabbi Meir nor Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara is attempting to try to figure out who is the author of this Mishnah. On the top of Gimel Beis, the Gemara is the fifth line from the top. The Chitema, the middle of the line. Maybe this Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar. The Chilo boy, Rabbi Elazar, Chasim Lishma Midaraisa. Maybe it's true that Rabbi Elazar doesn't require signing to get Lishma Min HaTorah, but Midrabanan boy, maybe there's this new Halacha Midrabanan kind of between the cracks and we don't know it yet. Maybe that's what the Mishnah is alluding to. And yet, it would make a lot of sense to have such a Halacha after all. Minat Torah, you have to write the get Lishma. Now, having signatures signing it, if you have witnesses signing it, Shalom Lishma, next thing you know is you're going to write the get Shalom Lishma. So I understand the need for such a concern. So maybe that's the Pshat of the Mishnah. Gemara says, no, it's not true. Because we actually know for a fact that Rabbi Elazar does not subscribe to that Dinder Rabbanan. It happens to be according to Rabbi Elazar, there is no requirement to sign a get at all. How do we know this? The Gemara brings somewhat of a complicated proof. We have to go through all the cases of the Mishnah first to get to the punchline. But the Gemara makes reference to a famous Mishnah, the ninth Berach of Gittin, called the Gimel Gittin Psulim. There are three Gittin that apostle to. There are a lot more Gittin that apostle, but there are three Gittin that apostle that are very, very unique in their Psul, in that the get was already given and the woman remarried. We're not going to make a fuss about it. Now, usually, if a get is really puzzled, so Ruva gives a rachel a get that's puzzled in a Torah, then it's not a get, so then she's still in a position. And Chas v'Shalom, she remarries based on this puzzled get, so the child is going to be a mamzer. It's literally like an Eishah Zish, she's having relations with another man. But every once in a while, possibly three times, you have a get called the Gimel Gittim Psulim, that this get should not be used. You're not supposed to be using this get, but if she went ahead and used it, so with the Evan, we're going to look the other way. So what are these Gimel Gittin Psulim, which is going to set up for us eventually Rabbi Elazar Shita? This time, we looked at the Mishnah in the ninth parak of Gittin. This time, Gimel Gittin Psulim, the Emises of Lad Kosher. So the get itself is possible. She's not permitted to remarry, but if she does, the child is kosher. The child does not become a mamzer. So get number one is Kosub Ksav Yado, the Ein Alav Eidin. If a person writes a get in his own handwriting, and there are no witnesses on the get. So on the one hand, there are no witnesses. It's not worth all that much. On the other hand, there is a halachic validity to a ksav yad. Let's say, for example, if I sign a document to you that says, I hereby owe you $100, I sign my name at the bottom, there are no witnesses, and it's still binding. Which says in the Basra that a signature is considered to be almost like an effect, like a testimony of Eidim. So the coming mission says, if you have a get that's authorized by the husband, not just authorized, but it's written by the husband, signed by the husband, but there are no witnesses. So you're not supposed to use such a get. That's not an acceptable get. But in HaTorah, technically speaking, such a get would be kosher. So therefore, Mise Savlat kosher. So that's get number one that we're talking about. Kosher Savyad Eidim Eidim, or Yeshul of Eidim. What if you have a get which has Eidim on it? It has witnesses on it. Everything's great. The Ein Bozman. It's not dated. Now, the dating on a get is very important. It's actually a story a little bit later on, the second part, why it's so important to have a date on a get. That's for a variety of concerns that can arise if a get doesn't have a date on it. But in HaTorah, a get doesn't really require a date. In HaTorah, I wrote the story, the Rebbe does Chaladam, who brings the boss of Rachel, gives him the get. We have no idea when this get took place. Technically speaking, the get is kosher. Midrabban, you're not allowed to use such a get. But if you went ahead and you used such a get, then we're going to look the other way. The child is going to be kosher. Yesh beis man, the eimbo el einechon. But what if you have a get that has a date on it? There's only one witness signed on it, which is a little bit somewhat superfluous. And we said before, even if there are no witnesses signed on it, it's okay. If it's a ksaviyad, if it's a signature, what is the significance of this third case? So we're going to have to put this third case on hold until we get to pei vav amud aleph. So that's very optimistic with the Beit Hashem. I can't say if and when we're going to get there, but it's 4 blocks away from the end of the Masechta. So we have quite a way to go. So this is a little bit of a confusing case. It's actually Gemara is a big machlokes because what exactly the details of this case are. But the bottom line is, for our purposes, the bottom line is these gittin are examples of gittin that apostle, but the Mises of Kosher. But the evidence they were used, the child is kosher, which is tantamount to saying that the apostle of the Rabbanan. But it's in that context of these gittin, which are possible with Rabbanan, that Rabbi Elazar makes his sweeping statement, which is what becomes significant for us. Rabbi Elazar, at the end of that mission, Rabbi Elazar says, "Afal pisha ein alav edim, there are no edim at all. Elisha nasla b'fnei edim, it was given in the presence of edim." The halacha is that a get has to have edim on it. What does it mean have to have? Have to have where? So according to Rabbi Meir, the get has to have Eidei Chasim, it has to have Eidim that sign it. According to Rabbi Elazar, there is no such requirement to sign a get. Min HaTorah, there's no such requirement. According to the overwhelming majority of the opinions of Rishab, there's no requirement even with the Rabbanan's here. There is no reason, quote unquote, to sign a get. So what we sign a get for? So Gemara explains later on in the fourth parak that Chazal strongly recommend to sign a get. A very, very simple, very just a logistical concern. A woman's going to come forward in 6 months from now, move to another community. She's going to try to prove that she's divorced. So she's going to pull out a piece of paper that says, without any signatures on it. What's the basis going to do with that? So she's going to have to go bring the Edom who were there at the time of the writing again. Who knows where the Edom are now? Who knows the Edom are still alive now? So it's too risky for her to rely in the future on a piece of paper without witnesses on it. Therefore, Chazal recommended, the Gemara says, Hiski Raman Ruyo. And Rabbi Gamliel strongly recommended, not an absolute requirement according to most opinions, but he strongly recommended sign a get because it's going to come to help you in the future. But if you didn't sign the get, well, it's still okay.
There's no value in the casino in the bio that you can go verify with these people anyway, so she's not going to go to the location that she's
right. Oh, excellent. But we're only going to have to do that if the husband questions the get. If the husband comes screaming and yelling that's Mezuyah, then we're going to be in trouble. But Cole's mind that we don't hear from the husband. If a woman walks in the basin with a piece of paper that has two ways signed on it, we're not going to cause trouble. We're not going to stir the pot. If he stirs the pot, we're in trouble. Right? In Okinami. So comes up Elazar and says, you don't even need Edim. Not only is the get kosher without Edim, the govim and chasim mishubotim. You can use this get to collect from property that was sold. Now, what does this mean? For the different opinions in the Rishon, what precisely this law means, hopefully that's we'll get once the insurer will hopefully come back to this. But at least according to some, What the law means is as follows. When a woman produces a get, so there are multiple results that come out of having a get. Number one, obviously most important, she could be married. Number two, she can collect her ksuba. Not only could she collect the ksuba, she could prove that she has a kosher get, not only even if she can't find that ksuba, not only can she collect the ksuba, but she can even collect the ksuba from property that the husband no longer owns. The husband at one time sold property. She has a pre-existing lien against that property. So by saying that this get is kosher, you could use it to remarry, you can collect your ksuba, you can even get property that was sold. You're basically giving a stamp of approval and saying this get is kosher, this is a kosher get. And even though she'ein eidim chos b'midim, what Mishnah concludes, because witnesses only sign al get, al metikin ha'olam. The only reason why witnesses sign in the first place according to Belozer is just to make life easier for her, but the get is perfectly legitimate without witnesses signing. Oh, very good. Excellent. So the truth is that you don't really need a ksuba. Mishnah says in the second ksuba that whether he wrote a ksuba, didn't write a ksuba, he has to pay the money anyway. Ksuba was an obligation with the Rabbanan that any time the husband is divorced or the husband dies, she's entitled to collect the ksuba. We write a ksuba, the Gemara says, because we want to make sure that the woman knows that. We don't want the woman to be nervous and to think that she doesn't, she's not going to get her money. But whether she has or doesn't have a ksuba, she's going to be able to collect the money anyway. But the Rabbanan Chazal said that once we institute to write a ksuba to make life easier and better for her, If she doesn't have a physical piece of paper, then the couple's not supposed to meet together until they be registered.
The husband or the owner of that piece of land could
tell
that it was paper.
Oh, that's a whole sugya in the first part of Bamatia about can you make it tiny again? So it's called the Maisa Basin. Way beyond right now. That's a whole sugya at the end of the first part of Bamatia. That's such a tiny. Is that a valid time? Not a valid time. So for our purposes, the Gemara just proved that Rabbi Elazar doesn't require a Eved Chasiba. He doesn't require it min HaTorah. He doesn't require it mid Rabbanon. So he is clearly not the Tan of this Mishnah. The Mishnah says, the Fon Enechdom, it was written to get a sign. Who signs getting a Kotubah? Who said you have to sign getting the Shva? What kind of halach is that? So we are really in a pickle because we still do not know who is the author of the Mishnah. No Tan under the sun seems to insist on both the Chasiba and the Chasiba being the Shva. So the Gemara goes back, pedals a little bit, back to Rabbi Meir. So on the fourth line from the bottom, the El Rabbi Meir. Maybe really it is Rabbi Meir Shita. The Chilo boy, Rabbi Meir, Ksiva Lishma Midaraisa. Maybe when Rabbi Meir said you don't have to write a get Lishma, maybe that means Min HaTorah. Because according to Rabbi Meir, the Chas of Lach, while the Shma is going on the Chasima, and the signature is not on the Ksiva and the writing. But maybe it's Rabbanon. Maybe Rabbi Meir concedes that mid the Rabbana, it's a little bit funny if you cannot write the get Lishma, then you're not silent Lishma. Maybe Rabbi Meir instituted such a din mid the Rabbana. Says the Gemara, it's not true. We have on record that Rabbi Meir never ever insisted on a get being written Lishma, not at all, not mid the Torah, not mid the Rabbana. How do we know this? For Amar Rav Nachman, Omohai Rabbi Meir. Nachman said that Rabbi Meir would say as follows: Afilu Matzah Ba'ashpa. Quite a dramatic illustration. You find a get in the garbage. Just happen to have good luck. That the name of the get happens to be your name, and the woman's name of the get happens to be your wife's name. So there are two people that are called the two Yosef and Shimons who live in one town. That's always the name that the Chazal always gives as the example of a Yosef and Shimon. I'm not mistaken. I think one of Rav Schwab's sons, I think, was name was Yosef. Anyone know that? I think one of the sons is Yosef. I'm not mistaken. It was Rav Schwab, and people used to chuckle at the end of Aliyah. I'm not Yosef and Shimon. That's the famous name in the end of the Sefer Nasra. So comes the Gemara and says, if you happen to luck out and you find a piece of paper with your name, your wife's name, and somebody else's, what would Rabbi Meir say about such a get? Afilu matzah ashpa. Even if you find such a get in the garbage, the chasma v'daslam. As long as you sign it, lishma kosher. So such a get would still be kosher. Kosher sounds like it's okay. Sounds like you're allowed to use such a get, even with the rabbanan. The Gemara doesn't relent. The chiteim on the top line of dalam and alam. The chiteim anan midaraisa kamaslinim la. Maybe all Rabbi Meir meant to say was that a Torah it's kosher. He didn't mean to say really practically it's kosher. But so that's not right. Yehochi, if that would be so, Omahoy Rabbi Meir. How did Rabbi Nachman mislead us by saying, Omahoy Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir used to say, it sounds like Rabbi Meir was saying this all the time, get it out of the garbage. What Rabbi Meir should have said is Dva Torah Mevayolet. He should have said, Min HaTorah, it's okay, but Min HaBonim, it's not okay. So the bottom line is, we are, after 20 lines of the Gemara, we are right back where we started. That we still do not have an author of this Mishnah. Neither Rabbi Meir nor Rabbi Elazar insists on both the Ksiva and the Ksiva being Lishma. So the Gemara goes back to Rabbi Elazar for a minute. Eliolam.
What's the halal? The Paskala is that he would have had to say that that was with the eraser. What's wrong with
the halal? The Gemara is working through that here. Because we're 1,500 years ahead of the discussion. So we're privy to the discussion taking place. So the Amorim themselves are trying to analyze and try to dissect what the words of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar are. So at the end of the day, we still have nothing. The Olam, Rabbi Elazar, we're going to go back to square one, back to Rabbi Elazar. The Chilo boy, Rabbi Elazar Chasima, when do we say that Rabbi Elazar doesn't require signatures? Hechad like Eidim Klal. It means if you don't want to have signatures on the get, that is fine. That's good min HaTorah, that's good min Rabbanan, and it's good lechatchila. You can write a get lechatchila kontra Rabbi Elazar with no signatures. I wouldn't recommend it, says Rabbi Elazar. How in the world can a woman prove in 20 years from now she's divorced? The Eidei Masir, the Eidei witness to give you a get, may no longer be alive. So it's a bad idea, but there's nothing wrong with it. Min HaTorah, the get is good without any witnesses. But, hey chadika, Eidim, but if there are Eidim who are there already, then, boy, then they must sign the Shema. So someone of a strange halacha that nobody told you to do it. But if you do it, you better do it right. So it's better to have a get with no signatures than to have a get with signatures that were done shalom the Shema. How do we know this? Where in the world do we have a precedent for this? To Amar Rabbi Abba, Moda Rabbi Elazar v'mezuyif b'tachshu pasul. It's a brand new concept of Kos Gittin called mezuyif b'tachshu. The term mezuyif b'tachshu literally means mezuyif means a forgery. B'tachshu, it's an internal forgery. So it's a little bit of a dramatic way of describing the following phenomenon. Nobody told you to do it. Nobody asked you to put Edom on that get if you choose not to according to Elazar. But if you put Edom, if you sign that get, you better make sure everything is done kedasu chadin and has to be signed lishma. For example, the Gemara has this a little bit later on, and the Yud. What if you have a get? Nobody told you to sign the get. You chose to do so, and the Edom you chose happened to be impossible. You put two bank robbers, you put two relatives to sign the get. The Gemara says, if you would have had nothing there, it would have been great. Now that you put Edom Suleiman, you made matters worse. And that's what's called the get, that's mezuyah b'tocho. So it's not 100% clear why this is a problem. Tosfos suggests over here, and I've done it off, that maybe the reason why mezuyah b'tocho is a problem is because it's too risky that if you start to sign the shalom shema, the next thing you know is you're going to write it shalom shema. If you don't do anything, no witnesses here, just leave it blank at the bottom. Well, then you left it blank. Below says you don't need anything to finish. Are you living dangerously? Because how are you going to prove she's divorced? 20 years will deal with that problem. But the minute that you put something on the paper and you do it incorrectly, that makes matters worse because that's going to lead to all kind of mechshom, all kind of problems in the gittin in the future. So that's a suggestion that the Gemara gives. Hopefully, when we get to the sugya more of the eon, we'll see that this is a loaded topic about the parameters of this halacha of mezuzah b'tocho. But at least one thing we accomplished, we have a working shot in Mishnah. At least we know why the Mishnah says you need b'fani necha b'fani necha for lishma, because of concerns according to b'laz of mezuzah b'tocho. That they signed the get saying, we're hereby signing this get, Mashem the Isha, Mashem the Isha, Mashem the Isha. That's what they signed. Every person, so if we don't should say get, but if we get this, if you have a present, when we get what's written. So that's literally what they say. The Sadi Gittin stands over the person and says, write the get, Lishmo, Shem Gavishin, and sign the get, Lishmo, Shem Gavishin. Everything is done, Mamash Kedaskha, then Lishmo. So that second level of signing the get, Lishmo, that's to fulfill this halacha. It shouldn't be a chashash of Mizuvi Toho. Rav Ashi Oman. Rav Ashi says, you know, we don't have to fall back on this answer of mezuzah b'tocho. Maybe it's the right answer, it's not a right answer, but we don't really need that for our purposes, for our Mishnah. Rav Ashi gives an entirely different spin in our Mishnah. Hamani Rabbi Hudi. There are other Tanoim out there besides Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. So yes, it's true. Rabbi Meir believed in Chasimus, didn't put too much significance in the Ksiva. Rabbi Elazar believed in Ksiva, put very little significance on the Chasimus. But there happens to be a third Tana, Rabbi Huda, who's entitled his opinion, he holds that both of them are significant and both of them are critical. And if one of them is lacking the Shema, then the entire get is possible. How do we know that's what Rabbi Yehuda said? So Rabbi Yehuda didn't even mention the Shema. He wasn't even talking about the Shema. He was talking about a parallel halacha, the Sinan we learned in the second paragraph. Rabbi Yehuda posel ashtei ksivaso v'chasimaso v'talush. We spoke a little bit about this earlier in the week, that there's a din, when you write a get, the get cannot be written on a dov ha-mechubur. You can't write a get on a tree and then chop down the branch, take off the branch and hand that branch to the woman. There's a halacha derived from sukkim that has to be on a dov ha-tolosh. That's basically that's detached. So come the Tanoim and say, which part has to be detached? Does it have to be detached at the time of the ksiva? Does it have to be detached at the time of the chasima? So Rabbi Yehuda says, both. That unless the get was tolush, both the ksiva and the chasima, then the get is going to be posel min haTorah. So what do you see from Rabbi Yehuda? That whereas Rabbi Meir put all the significance of the chasima, and Rabbi Elazar said it's the ksiva that carries the day. Rabbi Yehuda said they're both right, they're both wrong. Means they're both important. The ksiva and the chasima are both significant. If they're significant vis-a-vis the halachas of tolush and chubur, then they're equally significant vis-a-vis the dinim of lishma. And the bottom line is we've discovered the authentic Tana of our Mishnah. So we have two answers in the Amarahim. Who is the author of our Mishnah? It took us a blot almost to figure out who authored our Mishnah. So the two versions as to who authored our Mishnah, either it's Rabbi Elazar based on the added component of Mizuf B'Tocho being a problem, or it's Rabbi Huda the Tana who insists on both being Lishma. So now everybody asks a very, very technical question. It's sort of the stylistic as to why we just did what we did for the last Amar and a half. Why didn't we realize this? We could have been in Tafhei already. Why didn't we go through back, shock the tire, back and forth to try to figure out that we're almost like pushing ourselves to get it to be Rabbi Meir? were like plotting together to be Rabbi Elazar. Why don't you just fall back on a read? It's so much smoother, so much easier. And think about it enough from a stylistic point of view. Now, had reading the Rabbi Meir, there was a reason textually why we prefer the Mishnah to be Rabbi Meir. The Stam Asnis in Rabbi Meir. That we have a klal that astamish, astamish means a name is not mentioned in the Mishnah. Many Mishnahis are not astamishes. Many Mishnahis say, Yehuda, Yosef, Shimon. Many Mishnahis don't record who they authored by. The general rule is astamish is Rabbi Meir. So now we have the opening Mishnah and get an amazing get. We didn't say, oh, to say it's not Rabbi Meir, it doesn't sit well. So therefore, we would have liked to turn the world upside down. We couldn't. We gave up, but we would have liked to turn the world upside down to make this Mishnah Rabbi Meir. And why do we work so hard to make it Rabbi Elazar? Adrin and Rabbi Elazar, the Kaimel Hilchas Chavos Gittin, because later on in that Pevav, we paskin like Rabbi Elazar. And the Stam Mishnah is a very, very significant, plays a significant role in terms of Pesach Halacha. Generally speaking, Halacha is the Stam Mishnah, but the reason why it's presented by Rabbi Nasi is being a Stam Mishnah, because that seems to be just about the consensus view, not necessarily totally unanimous view, but the pretty much consensus view about something. So it would really make sense from a Pesach point of view that the Stam Mishnah should be following Rabbi Elazar. Therefore, we also tried very hard to get it to be that way. So the bottom line is we have three possible attempts at this Mishnah. Either the Mishnah was Rabbi Meir, we pushed ourselves to make it Rabbi Meir because that Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, and failed. We pushed to make it Rabbi Elazar because Hilchos of the Rabbi Elazar beginning, and we kind of succeeded in both of them. And then the third approach was forget about Rabbi Meir and forget about Rabbi Elazar, pin it onto Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda we know for a fact says it. Even though, again, from a textual point of view, we're not so thrilled with that issue. So at least we have two working pshatim in that Mishnah, either Rabbi Elazar with the component of Mezuzah Mitocho, or it's just plain simple Rabbi Yehuda. But now we get back to the main thrust of that sugya, a little bit of a tangent. We get back to the main thrust of that sugya, namely the Machlokes Rab and Rava. Why is the Mishnah true in the first place? So Rabba was the one who said it's because of Lishma, and Rava was the one who said, no, you Lishma. It has to do with Ain Eidim at Shuvah time. We're afraid that there aren't witnesses that are going to be around to authenticate the signatures. And because of that concern, we want to make sure that we have this quasi-Kim Shtaris in before we run into trouble in years to come. So Rabbi Meir, Rav is a Lishma person, Rav is Eidim at Shuvah time. So now the Gemara tries to pin that Machlokes back in the days of the Tanoim. So Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Af HaNevi Min HaRekim Min HaChiger. So remember, all the way back from day one of the Inshirim, we spoke about that pivotal city called Rekem. Is that considered to be part of Eretz Yisrael, is a part of the Chutz Loretz? So whereas the Mishnah begins by saying, HaNevi Get Redin HaSayam, so Rabbi Gamliel starts adding on some other cities as well. Even Rekem, even Chiger, even these cities, which the first opinion seemed to say don't require Farnechem, Rabbi Gamliel's drawing the lines a little bit different. Rabbi Eliezer, not to be confused with Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Elazar, two different people. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Afilu Mikfa Ludim Lud. Even from the village of Ludim to Lud, also has to have Mefarei Nechdam recited. So again, we're not sitting in Kfar Ludim right now, we're not sitting in Rechdam Chiyya right now, but one thing we do know for a fact, it seems to be Machlokes here, about a very, very small point. It seems to be this old gray area, kind of around the border of Eretz Yisrael, and we can't quite pinpoint why some Tanoim are insisting before an echtav to be recited, and others are saying it can be deleted. So first thing about it just tries to fill us in technically what these places were. Yom Rabbi, the Ayaras Tasmuchos to Eretz Yisrael, Umuvlos Petchum Eretz Yisrael Askidim. So Rabbi says there are actually two different kinds of cities that are being described here. So the first group of cities that Rabbi Gamliel was quoting are the Ayaras Tasmuchos to Eretz Yisrael. They're close. How close is close? I was going to try to fill in for that details also. They're close to the border. What are the cities Muvlos B'tchum Eretz Yisrael? So Muvlos B'tchum are so close to the border, but almost in a certain sense, a closer way than the first kind of cities. A border very rarely is a straight line, except for maybe to some of the states out west that are little like boxes that you see. Most borders jig a little bit, you know, up and down. Right? So you can have an area, you know, yeah. We had a board, we can visualize it. But you can have a border where, in theory, the city is outside of the border, but if you would draw a straight line from where the city is, you'd bump into the border. It means depending on where you are. So the border is going like this, up and down and up and down, and the city is right in between those ups and downs. So is it part of the border? Not really. It's chutz to the tchum. On the other hand, it is so what we call muvlet, swallowed up by the tchum. It's within that area that it would be 100 miles down, it would not be the tchum. So those are the two questionable kinds of cities that the Mishnah is referring to. So the first are literally just the cities that are close, and the others that are move close. So Rabbi Bachana says, I was there. I was in these places. I visited Eretz Yisrael, and the Havi can make me a kuvel pumadisa. Rabbi Bachana is trying to explain to the poor Tamid ibn Babel. Tamid ibn Babel, who enough maps, Google Earth is not helping us too much. We're trying to figure out what is giving a reference point. So Rabbi Bachana explained to him. I was there. I'm telling you, it's approximately like from here till to Washington. Give you just an idea. Just how far, how close these cities are. The question is, what's the issue? Is this an arbitrary question? He drew the line here, and he drew the line here, and he drew the line a little bit further. What's good? What is the issue? What is the halachic issue behind where we draw the line? From the fact that these later Tanoim, Gemur, Rabbi Elazar, are insisting on saying before Nechtav in these additional cities, it would appear that the earlier Tanoim, Tanakam, and Mishnah did not require it. So what were they arguing about? My love, maybe they were arguing about it as follows. Maybe the first Tana was of the opinion that the whole reason of saying before Nechta was because the Dayanim are not familiar with Allah's, the Hani Gemiri, and maybe these kinds of cities, they were so close to Eretz Yisrael. So you're right. Were they technically halachically within the border, whatever border means, as we saw from the Inshur, which we showed him here. It doesn't really matter whether literally halachically in the border. The bottom line is the yeshiva is there also. I don't know what to do there also. So maybe that's the reason why the first Tana shied away from requiring refinechem. Umar Sava, maybe the second Tana held. Maybe he was of the opinion that Rav is correct, that there aren't Edom that are present. And maybe the Edom aren't present in these places also. Maybe these places didn't have the same level of traffic as Eretz Yisrael proper had. Again, it's very hard for us. We're sitting 1,700 years later in, not in Eretz Yisrael, not in Babel, sitting in Tinek, trying to figure out what in the world was going on in these controversial cities at the time. So the Gemara is suggesting that maybe this is the issue. Maybe these cities fall literally in between the cracks because one of the reasons of concern is present. Maybe the other reason is not present. So maybe, and again, the Mishnah doesn't say any of this. The Mishnah doesn't tell us what the reason is. But maybe what's going on between the lines of the Mishnah is actually the Machlokes Rabbah and Rabbah being presented. So comes the Gemara and says, no, lo, Rab mitarz tameh, Rab mitarz tameh. The Gemara says, it's not convincing. That this Mishnah, it's an interesting Machlokes, about cities on the border, and cities inside the border, and cities moving on the border, it all has to be analyzed, but it has nothing to do with Rabbah and Rabbah. Rabbah can explain the entire Mishnah according to his theory, and Rabbah can explain the entire Mishnah according to his theory. So to make the machlekes that turn into the machlekes, Rabbi Rav is a little bit too much. Sometimes, like in yeshivas, like we learn a sugya, so we have like, yeah, it sounds good. Oh, this machlekes, this is the machlekes that we shared. This is the machlekes that turn on. This machlekes. Sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not true. So when the Gemara says it's not here, it's not true. Here, it's not at all necessary to say that way. So what is going on in the Mishnah? So Rabbi Matayt for Tamei, Rabbi Matayt for Tamei. So Rabbi Matayt for Tamei, Rabbi explains the Mishnah according to him, the Kuleyam Lefisha Ein Bekim Lishma, that everybody's working with the same criteria. Do they know Lishma or do they not know Lishma? That's the only factor that matters. And this is what they're arguing about. Tanakama saw the first items of the opinion. Hani came into Smuchos Megim Gemiri. Tanakama thought that they're so close to Eretz Yisrael, they picked up some of the Torah knowledge as well. But also Rabbi Gamliel, the name, Rabbi Gamliel said that Muvlos Gemiri, Smuchos Lo Gemiri. Rabbi Gamliel said, if it's moved on the tchum, I mean, it's kind of swallowed up in the tchum, so that's close enough. Maybe you're right there. Maybe they don't have to say before Nechtav. If they're just close, 20 miles away, close, that's not enough, and therefore what they did were not proficient enough, and the concern of before Nechtav applies. But also Rabbi Eliezer Lameima, and Rabbi Eliezer added on, that Muvlos Nami, lo shlotach b'disayam. Rabbi Eliezer said, if it's chutz l'aretz, it's chutz l'aretz. It's across the street, it doesn't matter. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you can't start every city is going to come and say, our rabbis are very smart. And the other one's going to say, our rabbis are not as smart. It's ridiculous, says Rabbi Eliezer. It's a low plume across the board. We draw a line. Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz L'Aretz. So at the end of the day, this Mishnah that quotes the different opinions is not committing to either rabbi or rabbi. So rabbi has a shot at this Mishnah. Hopefully, let's see the next Bekir Shia. We'll try to figure out how Rava learned Pshat in this Mishnah, why when all the dust settles, this Mishnah is not indicative neither of Rava's Pshat nor Rava's Pshat. Thank you.